In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today is the feast of the circumcision and name of Jesus. I imagine that you probably noticed that the gospel reading today is pretty much as short as they can come, just a single verse. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. If you have any interest in diagramming sentences, you perhaps noted that the primary grammatical structure here is just 4 words long. He was called Jesus. We considered this 2 weeks ago on the fourth Sunday of Advent, when an angel of the Lord told Joseph in a dream, "You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." And again on Christmas Eve, when one of the readings in the service of lessons and carols related Gabriel's words to the Virgin Mary, "You will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus." On both occasions, the sermon included a reflection on the name Jesus, which means the Lord saves. Before we come to the name of Jesus in today's text, the feast speaks of circumcision. This likely seems at least a little bit strange. Circumcision isn't something that comes up in discussion every day. We might even wonder, so what? The incarnation of God and the nativity of one who is the Lord God, Messiah and Savior, these are certainly a big deal. But this infant boy's circumcision? What's there to get excited about, to celebrate in this? I spent a number of hours this week studying a sermon Martin Luther preached on this text that addresses this very question. Luther writes, "Circumcision, just as the law, was ordained for those who were sinners and guilty of eternal death. Jesus, however, was free from all sin and is Lord over the law. It had no authority over him because the law only deals with sinners and Jesus is no sinner. In accordance with the law, Jesus was circumcised like other little children who were sinners. In this, however, the law transgressed against him and therefore received its due punishment, namely, its termination. Christ could have abolished the law at once, forcibly, if he had desired to do so. He is master over the law because he is free from sin, in no way subject to it. Not with force, though, but in love and humility, Jesus annulled the law by fulfilling it. And he did so on our behalf and for our consolation. Our Lord and Savior had no need of circumcision, just as he, for his own sake, had no need of becoming man or of being crucified. He did all this for our benefit. We needed one who was without sin and who therefore could fulfill the law for us and appease the wrath of God. Jesus became subject to the law for the purpose of transferring his victory over the law to us, so that we might continue to enjoy this triumph and possess the same power over the law he possesses, namely freedom from its condemnation. Whoever firmly trusts in Christ is free from the curse of the law. We learn from St. Paul how necessary our deliverance from the law was. He writes, "Neither circumcision counts for anything, nor uncircumcision, but keeping the commandments of God." This boldly declares that no one who is circumcised has thereby kept or fulfilled the law. It follows then that being circumcised does not free a person from sin. Though the Jews were circumcised, it was still necessary for them to observe the other command of God. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind. Surely no one can boast that he has fulfilled, or could fulfill, this commandment. In fact, take whatever commandment you please, and you will be compelled to confess that no person has completely kept even a single one. So what is the punishment for those who, though circumcised, have not kept the commandments of God? St. Paul identifies this when he refers to Deuteronomy, "Cursed be anyone who does not confirm the words of this law by doing them." By doing them. Thus it follows that everyone who relies upon the works of the law is under a curse, since they cannot fulfill it. If we could keep the law, all would be well. But since we cannot do this, the result is that the law accuses us and delivers us over to the devil. We are therefore in need of a better and nobler declaration than the one which the law announces. It can only ask and command, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and your neighbor as yourself." This is demanded of us, even if our neighbor has injured us and we want to take revenge against him. No, this commandment cannot be fulfilled. Human nature rebels against it. Anger, discontent, impatience, hate, envy, pride, and more will be aroused against it. It's useless to attempt compliance with it. Even if you do everything you can, you will not be justified before God by your obedience, because your obedience is never perfect. This is where we find the reason why one mightier and better than us had to come. That is Christ, the Son of God, who, though without sin, was circumcised as sinners were, and made himself subject to the law in all humility, that he might annul it and liberate us who could never bear its burden, and therefore would have remained under the curse and wrath of God. Our own experience, along with the testimony of scriptures, teaches us this. As David writes, "Enter not into judgment with your servant, for no one living is righteous before you." And an anonymous psalmist, "If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?" Since then, we are thus in bondage under the law and cannot appear before God, nor have trust in him that we should have, it follows that we must have something more effective than the requirements of the law. Our redemption rests on the fact, declared by the gospel, that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, on whom the law had no demands because of his holiness, put himself under the law even was circumcised, that he might find an occasion against the law and be able to say, "Listen up, law. You treated me, the master, as a servant. For this, you must now serve me and be my slave and prisoner." This supremacy of Christ our Lord over the law, he gives to you and to me, thus depriving the law of its judgment against us poor sinners and acquitting us. My circumcision, my love towards God and men, my obedience, all of these are nothing. I will not trust in them. My entire confidence, comfort, and courage rest upon the obedience, innocence, and holiness of Jesus. Confidence and hope in him cannot fail. They are sure and firm. With his circumcision, Jesus manifested his readiness to fulfill the entire law in all of its details, just as it had been demanded of us, poor sinners. This, then, is our comfort and our happiness. The Christian's righteousness consists in a knowledge of himself as a poor sinner who can never fulfill the law. Nevertheless, he does not despair, because his Lord came to the rescue by taking the law upon himself and rendering the required satisfaction perfectly. Thus the soul becomes glad and joyful before God, and a true obedience to the law comes forth, not by constraint, but willingly. And although such fulfillment of the Lord's commandments will still be very imperfect because of our sinful flesh, nevertheless, God is pleased with it if we have faith in Christ. Whatever remains impure and incomplete in this regard becomes invisible under the cover and shield of the forgiveness of sins for Christ's sake. As we heard from Galatians this morning, all who have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. He is our clothing, that which hides our sin and appears to God as perfect righteousness. This festival of the circumcision of Jesus is therefore a joyous day, a day on which we approach God with this heartfelt confession. O Lord, you ordained circumcision for the Jews and gave them and us the command that we should love you with our whole heart and our neighbors as ourselves. We now confess that we have not kept your law and that we cannot keep it as it should be kept. We are therefore guilty and deserve to be lost and damned eternally. This, however, is our consolation and defense in which we trust, that your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, was circumcised even as sinners are, and willingly fulfilled the entire law. We faithfully accept his circumcision as done for us, and pray you, Heavenly Father, for his sake, be merciful to us and grant us the fruits of his obedience and holiness. Let us all learn to trust solely in the merits of our Lord and Savior, that we may be secure and enabled to triumph over sin and death. May Christ our Lord grant it to us. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting.